Have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Exodus. Moses has been up on the mountain with God, receiving the commandments again after the tablets he broke when he came down with the people's sin. Chapter 34, verse 28. Says he was there with the Lord 40 days and 40 nights, and he did neither eat bread nor drink water. He wrote upon the tables the words of the covenant, the Ten Commandments. Came to pass when Moses came down from Mount Sinai with the two tables of testimony in Moses' hand, when he came down from the mount, that Moses wist not that the skin of his face shone while he talked with him. When Aaron and all the children of Israel saw Moses, behold, the skin of his face shone, and they were afraid to come nigh him. Moses called unto them, and Aaron and all the rulers of the congregation returned unto him, and Moses talked with them. Afterward, all the children of Israel came nigh, and he gave them a commandment and all that the Lord had spoken with him in Mount Sinai. Until Moses had done speaking with them, he put a veil on his face. But when Moses went in before the Lord to speak with him, he took the veil off until he came out. And he came out and spake unto the children of Israel that which he was commanded. And the children of Israel saw the face of Moses, that the skin of Moses' face shone. Moses put the veil upon his face again until he went in to speak with them. Let's pray. Father, as we look into your word tonight, help us to gain from this that we can apply it to our own lives and that we can learn from your word and grow thereby, be equipped for what we face in life and help others. We pray for your help in Jesus' name. Amen. I mentioned this morning that the missionary in the Philippines, Mike Mislin, will be coming home next year and the work he's been doing there. And got an email this afternoon from the missionary in Taiwan, the Greens, who also has a Filipino church there because there's so many Filipino workers that come to Taiwan because of their economy to get jobs that he started a church for them, and he has a stronger church with the Filipinos than he does with the Chinese. And that's not uncommon to, you know, have a small work with the Chinese, but they have a good thriving work, but it is steeped in ancestor worship and the Chinese religions, and so it's hard to reach them and it takes time. But the Filipinos, many of them are coming from backgrounds of missionaries for years and years and years in the Philippines, so many of them are saved or they're already knowledgeable of Christianity and they will come to church because they're displaced from their home. And these people that are saved are inviting them. So they had three today that got saved. In the Filipino church, they had a good group in the Chinese church. And Brother Green is doing a good work. Now Moses, in chapter 34. First of all, the reminder about what we know. Moses took the tables of stone up the mountain to God in verse 28. And he was 40 days and 40 nights with the Lord. And on these tables are written the Ten Commandments. Our laws in the United States of America have had their basis in these commandments, and most civilized nations have adopted them either from the Bible or from religious teaching or from the United States or other countries that have instituted them, like Great Britain. In Exodus chapter 20 and verse number 3, we have the first time that God gave the commandments and God told Moses to bring the table of stone up, and the Bible says God wrote the commandments with the finger of God. He wrote them. And of course, when Moses came down off the mountain and saw the people dancing around the golden calf, he threw the tables down and broke them, and now he's brought the tables back up to God for the commandments, and their commandments have been our commandments to acknowledge God. Our founding fathers in all their documents acknowledged God and the providence of God and a supreme being and the one to whom we are to worship. They saw His hand at work in the establishing of the nation. That we're not to worship idols, and idolatry is not a big problem in the United States of America. The biggest problem of idolatry is when we make idols of things or in the few religions that do worship statues and things of that nature, graven images. To set aside a day for the Lord. It has been just recently, in the last 15 years, that they have begun to turn over the blue laws that were here in the Bible Belt. And there are still some states that have laws of many things that can't be open on Sundays. and you can't sell alcohol, and you can't sell, you know, certain things. Even still today, there are some restrictions on the things that are supposed to be sold on Sunday, which is the day we have dedicated unto the Lord. Israel's day was Friday night at 6 o'clock until Saturday night at 6 o'clock, which is called the Sabbath. And when Christ rose from the dead on the first day of the week, on Sunday, we began to worship and gather to meet Christ on the Lord's day. To honor our parents. That is not so many laws that deal with that, but there are laws that deal with minors. There are laws that do give parental authority. There are laws that give a tax break for husbands and wives. There are laws that, and of course the gay movement is wanting to get a hold of that one to get a tax break. Thou shalt not kill. That's pretty well a law everywhere. And that doesn't refer to war or anything like that. The emphasis is that we should not commit murder, that we should not take it into our own hands to kill people without justice and judgment and law and all of those things. That we should not commit adultery. There have been moral laws throughout our nation for many years, though for many years they have not been enforced. There are still laws that deal with adultery. There are still lawsuits that can take place when one person steals another person's husband or wife. There's still a lawsuit that can be filed for that, that has won cases in certain courts and places. Thou shalt not steal. That's still a law everywhere. Nobody wants a thief around. The Bible says we don't begrudge a man who stole to eat, feed his family, but we begrudge men who steal for pleasure or for gain, and we would find them. And the Bible way is for them to pay back four times what they had stolen. I like that a whole lot better than putting them in jail and the tax people paying to feed them and clothe them and give them health care and dental care. And I either need to go to jail or I need to go back and come across the border illegally, because I could use a whole lot of the benefits that those people are getting free of charge. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Refers to lying. In the court system or in any legality matter, in a document, in any kind of contract, it is against the law to lie and to falsify and fraud, and all that is tied up in thou shalt not bear false witness. And thou shalt not covet. Boy, we've really dropped the ball on that one. There was a day when we believed that in our country, not to covet what other people have. Rejoice when somebody else gets ahead and has something. Today, we'd rather see somebody fall on their face so we feel better than them, you know, than to rejoice with them when they get ahead. You see, America and its colleges and universities in its founding days, the lawyers were all trained by Blackstone's commentaries. And Blackstone's commentaries of the law had a verse of Scripture for every law that it taught. It taught the biblical basis for the laws, and all lawyers in the early days of America, long, long after the early founding days of the country, lawyers were still trained using Blackstone's commentaries. He called the beginning of wisdom the fear of the Lord, just like the Bible says. He believed that God works in the affairs of men and that God governs in the affairs of men. In other words, that God is ultimately and always in control over the affairs of man. We know the Supreme Court of the United States has the Ten Commandments posted in its gallery. That all of our governmental buildings and monuments have scriptures and quotations. I'll give you one I came across studying this. The early founding fathers in 1606 established the Virginia Charter for the state of Virginia. That was before the forming of the nation. That was before the pilgrims even came to the United States of America. April the 10th, 1606, this is what the document reads. We greatly commending and graciously accepting of their desires for the furtherance of so noble a work, which may by the providence of Almighty God hereafter tend to the glory of His divine majesty in propagating of the Christian religion to such people as yet live in darkness and miserable ignorance of the true knowledge and worship of God, and may in time bring infidels and savages to human civility and to settled quiet government. That whole purpose in those early days in America was to evangelize, to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ to the heathen people. And then as the nation was being established, to provide religious liberty and political equality. Those were emphasis in every state charter to give glory to God and to give thanks to God for the benefits that God has given. That's how we remember what we look back. Secondly, the reflection on Moses. Moses came down off the mountain with the commandments, and he was unaware. The Bible says he wist not, or he didn't understand, he didn't know, that his face had shining about it. We see somebody with a fresh suntan, and their face is glowing and red, and they put some oil on it to keep from burning it, and it's got a shine about it. I picture Moses' presence with God was like being in the presence of a nuclear reactor. You know, he was shining day and night when he came down off the mountain after being in the presence of the Lord. The people were afraid to come close to him. This wasn't just a sunburn. This wasn't just a simple change in his character. There was something so vastly different, a glory about him after being in the presence of God, that the people were afraid to come into his presence. Now, they didn't understand what was going on. Moses didn't even realize it until the people were afraid of him. But a lot of people don't understand the glory of God. A lot of people don't understand spiritual people who've been in the presence of the Lord. Spiritual people can tell when somebody's been in the presence of God. But unspiritual people have a difficult time discerning that. They're often afraid of it. It's different to them. It's not like what they're used to. And they're standoffish about it, because when you give people Scripture, if they're spiritual, they're going to like it. If they're unspiritual, it's going to create a rub and a burn, and they're not going to appreciate it. Keep your bookmark here and turn over to the New Testament with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Paul spoke of this to Corinth in 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Verse number 7. Paul said in verse 6 that God has made us able ministers of the New Testament. Not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. But if the ministration of death, written and engraved in stones, was glorious, so that the children of Israel could not steadfastly behold the face of Moses for the glory of his countenance, which glory was to be done away, how shall not the ministration of the Spirit be rather glorious? In other words, if Moses had glory because of the law and the presence of God, how much more glorious is it that we have the Spirit of God dwelling within us? He said in verse 9, for if the ministration of condemnation be glory, much more doth the ministration of righteousness exceed in glory. For even that which was made glorious had no glory in this respect, by reason of the glory that excelleth. For if that which is done away was glorious, much more that which remaineth is glorious. Seeing then we have such hope, we use great plainness of speech, not as Moses, which put a veil over his face, that the children of Israel could not steadfastly look to the end which was to be abolished. But their minds were blinded, for until this day remaineth the same veil, untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is done away in Christ. But even unto this day, when Moses is read, the veil is upon their heart. Nevertheless, when it shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. But we all with open face, beholding as in a glass or a mirror, the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. So Moses put a veil on his face so they not only would be not afraid to come near him, but also so they would not see the passing away of the glory. It was hidden to them. And the veil is still on the Jewish face when they read the Old Testament law, if they have not received Christ as their Savior. But we who have received Christ as our Savior, we look into the law of God, the Word of God, and it changes us little by little, more and more, into the very image of Christ, whose image we see exalted in the Word of God. So Moses had a reflection. The reflection was the glory of God that was shining upon his face when he came down off the mountain. He had been in the presence of God and of God's glory reflected on him. He had been with God uninterrupted for 40 days and for 40 nights. Now we find it hard to find an hour to spend alone with God in prayer. Moses was there for 40 days and 40 nights. Brother Alton Beale, president of Ambassador Baptist College, put on Facebook one day this past week about, he put a couple of things, but this one thing in particular he said, what upsets me most, forgetting my cell phone at home or forgetting to spend time in prayer with God? I'm afraid most of us are much more upset if we forgot our cell phone than we are if we forgot to pray. And it is a part of our problem that we deal with in this fast-paced society in which we live. We didn't think we could get along. We didn't think we needed a cell phone until we got one, and now we don't think we can get along without it. I didn't need a laptop computer. I've been here 35 years as a pastor. I didn't have one until Joey and some others told me I needed one, Pete. And they bought me one for the church and put it in my office. Now I can't live without it. I got to take it home with me. I got to look at it two or three times before I go to bed at night. I got to look at it in the morning when I get up. And I got to bring it back to the office with me and look at it during the day. And, you know, get emails and updates and send out emails to you and all that sort of thing. Would I be more upset if I left my computer at home, my cell phone at home, or would I be more upset if I forgot to pray or didn't take time to pray? Moses spent time with God, and it reflected on his face. The people were afraid to come near him. In the New Testament, there are some incidents where people had been with the Lord and the other people could tell they had been with God. You remember James and Peter and John went up on the Mount of Transfiguration. And when they saw the glory of God there, they saw Christ transfigured in his glory. And Moses and Elijah were up there on the mountain. And Peter said, let's build three tabernacles and stay up here. You see, when you get close to God, you want more of it. You want to be even closer. You want to know more about him. You want to spend more time with him. But the job we have to do sends us back off the mountain, back into the world, to minister to the world around us. Paul prayed. He said, I'm between a rock and a hard place. He said, I'm in a strait betwixt two. That means a rock and a hard place in southern language, you know. He said, I want to go to heaven and be with God, but it is needful me to be here with you. So he said, I'm torn between these two things. And he said, I believe I'll be delivered from prison according to your prayer, and I'll be delivered back to you, and it is needful that I'm with you. Our job to raise our kids and guide them for God and to witness to our neighbor is here, but we long to go home to heaven to be with God and be delivered from sin and get a new body and our home in heaven, and we look forward to those things with Christ. The closer you get to him, the more you're going to look forward to it. You get close to God, you want more. People had an assurance that Moses knew God and that Moses had been with God up on the mountain for 40 days when he came down and the glory of God was on him. You think you could follow Moses' instructions if he was your leader? If I could get along with God in prayer for an hour on Sunday morning before church and stand up here with a glory on me, you think you'd listen a little more? You think you'd figure that guy knows what he's talking about? That guy knows wherever he's come from. You know, he knows how to lead us. He knows where the instructions are. He knows what we're supposed to do. Moses didn't know this until the people wouldn't come near him. You see, it's not a manufactured thing. It's not something that he caused. It's not something that he could duplicate. It was because of being in the presence of God that this glory was about him. And I'll tell you the truth, friends, you can tell people who get to spend time with God. You can tell it when you're around people who walk with the Lord and who pray and who read the Word and who spend time with God. You can tell it. It's not shining on their face, but it can change their countenance when they have the joy of the Lord and they rejoice in Christ. Matthew Henry wrote, holiness commands reverence. To be in communion with God makes one equipped to speak for God. The more we're dedicated to God and alone with God, the less we're involved in the world and the pleasures of it, and the more we delight in heaven's pleasures. Thirdly, there's our redemption. We remember, we see the reflection, and now it's our redemption. God desires that we let our light shine before men, that they may see our good works and glorify our Father which is in heaven. Matthew 5, verse 13 through 16. Our good works can be seen of men. We don't have a shine of the glory of God like Moses had, but we have a greater glory within us, which is the Holy Spirit, that He's not going to pass away after a period of time that we've been out of the physical presence from God. He's with us all the time. But we're to let our good works shine. Unbelievers can see the good works we do. They can see the benevolence of this church toward its people in need. They can see the help that we give to people who are in crisis. They can see the works of the children's homes that we support and the men's rescue missions that we help rescue men from alcohol and drug addictions and rehab. That we help unbelievers come to a changed life and become productive citizens for Christ and taxpayers when they lived a life of none of those things prior to coming to Christ. They see the foreign work of missions that we do in spreading the gospel to places where they don't have the opportunities that we have here. They can see the ministry to our youth, to our teens, that we have a youth pastor and we have a bus and we have Sunday school and junior church and Wednesday night program and all these things for our children. We had the best VBS that we've ever had this year in attendance and in salvation decisions. I think there's been five people saved now that we know of for sure that it started or happened through VBS. One of our members, Nanette, had a five-day club at her house. People can see that. It's something physical. It's something visible. It's something they can see. You see, we worship God who is invisible. He is a spirit. And we worship Him in spirit and truth. But our works are to reveal that we worship God. We can be good neighbors. We have all the time. People tell us, you know, this is my neighbor, and boy, they sure have been a blessing to live near and to be our friends and been a friend to us. We ought to be the best employee. We ought to be the best citizens. We ought to be patriotic. And we are. We ought to be a people like that because of our walk with God. Men can see those who are real. They can see those who are sincere. They can see those who are caring. And quite often people won't listen to what we have to say unless we show them that we really care. Serious godliness does put a luster on a person's face and countenance. And to have the joy of the Lord and rejoicing in God is something that can be seen visibly and heard audibly. Moses couldn't manufacture this if he'd wanted to. In Acts 4:13, the people and the priests and the rulers and the elders gathered to ask questions about the miracle that had been done to the impotent man who now had gained strength. And they questioned the apostles about this. And Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said, "Be it known unto you and all Israel by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by Him doth this man stand before you whole." When they saw the boldness and knew they were unlearned men, they marveled and took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. The Bible says they were ignorant and unlearned is what the people said. It didn't mean they were ignorant in the sense of not having any knowledge. It meant they were not educated men. They were not highly learned men. They weren't Bible college graduates. But they had gone through the school of hard knocks. They had knelt with Jesus when Jesus prayed. And they had been asked of Jesus to pray for him when he went to the Garden of Gethsemane and wept, as it were, sweating blood. People know if you're real or not. People know real quick if you know the Bible when you start discussing it with them. They can figure out real fast if you really know the Word. Do people know that you've been with Jesus? At Antioch in Acts chapter 11, they were called Christians first at that place. That word means Christ-like ones. People could see they were like Christ. They spoke like him. They talked about what he talked about. They were his followers. Moses veiled his face when he met with the people, and this was the glory of the law, which was temporary. But the veil calmed their fears, but it kept them from seeing that that was temporary. And that law was always given to be temporary. It was never given to save a man's soul. It was given to show men the damage of sin and the fact that they would need a Savior. And Christ died to fulfill the need the law brought. Today the glory is within us and it's unfading and it lasts forever. Let's stand together, please. Learning these things helps us to enjoy our walk with God. And if we enjoy our walk with God, we spend more time with Him, the world will see we've been with God. They can hear we've been with God. They can see we know what we're talking about. And we need to show them that we care and we have love because of our relationship with the Lord. Father, thank You for Your Word. I pray Your blessings on this invitation. In Jesus' name, amen.